Well, I'm a little sore. Yesterday evening, I smoked some chickens, which are awesome. I was stepping over the baby gate because, as you guys know, we have baby gates all around our kitchen because of our puppy. And I stepped over the gate, and man, I biffed it. I caught it. I went right on the tile, hit my knee, so I'm sore. So I've been kind of. If you notice me limping, that's why I'm limping. How was your guys' first 2 weeks? We're in that 40-day prayer challenge. Are you praying? How has it been? Was it maybe exciting at the beginning, then it fades out as we get caught up in the chaos of life? Was it dry? Was it a battle? I'd expect that, right, when you begin to pray. But I want to challenge you guys today. Pray through. It doesn't matter what you feel, what's going on in your life. Keep pushing through. Keep praying. Don't give in to discouragement. Don't give in to unbelief. Keep praying. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, when I was listening to Francis Chan, and I was listening to him on prayer, and it still hits me and it still motivates me today. Prayer shows me where my confidence is in. When I don't pray, my confidence is in me. The more I pray, the more my confidence is in him. Isn't that kind of like, wow? Well, what about anything exciting? Has anyone, during this first 2 weeks of our 40 days day prayer challenge, I wonder, did God say anything to anybody specifically, really speak to your heart through something in these last 2 weeks? Anybody? You know, for me, as I was going through that draw circle devotional, one thing I know the Lord taught me is the importance for me of doing a prayer journal. I'm not a journaler. I've gone through aspirations, and I'd start maybe journaling, and it fades off. And my wife used to be a journaler. I don't know if she, do you do it much, love? You go through season with kids, it changes things. But my wife, we have boxes at home of my wife's journals. What the Lord really showed me during this season, one thing, was the importance of coming to prayer with a journal and with a pen. When you go into his presence expecting to encounter God and for him to speak, it's a sign of faith. And I just challenge it. I go in there, almost like if a movie star came in, or one of your favorite pastors, the best person you've listened on the radio, they came in and you get your notes out. Okay, yeah, go ahead. You write it all down. Why? You're expecting to be spoken to. How often do we go into prayer expecting for God to speak? How many of us do that? Keep praying, you guys. Keep fighting through. One thing I've also been seeing God begin to do in my own personal heart is he's increasing my faith. The more I pray, the more I'm seeing God building my faith so that I expect God to do great things. So maybe you said, "Oh, Reed, maybe you thought I'm going to do it. I'm not doing it." Join us in the prayer challenge. We still have over 20 days. Let's do it. Let's see what God will do in our lives. Let's see what God will do in our church. But let me just pray as we get into God's word today. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Father, we love you. And I ask, Father, in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, I ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your word today. Open our hearts, all those things that are distracting us. I pray, Lord, we just cast it at your feet. We come to your living word. And we ask for you to speak. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask one other thing. I pray for our children. As Bo and Natalie teach them your word, open their hearts by your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the last 2 weeks, well, not last week, we had a day off, right, with the snow. But over the last 3 weeks, I've been going through different bold prayers of the Bible. The first prayer I talked about was the bold prayer of Hannah, where Hannah came to God and said, "If you give me a child, I will give him to you." And as you remember, God gave her Samuel, and then God gave her much more after that. The second prayer, bold prayer of the Bible we talked about was Moses, when Moses came before God. And he asked them that incredible, bold prayer. And remember, when he saw Moses at the beginning of Genesis or of Exodus, you see him what? He's inadequate, insecure, and fearful. After he tried to deliver the people of Israel early on, and after 40 years later, he's 80 years old, and God calls him to go and set the people free. And we see that God transforms him, and he comes to that place where one of the boldest prayers we see in the Bible, when he's before God, he says, "God, please show me your glory." And God answered his prayer. Today, we will be looking at another bold prayer of the Bible. But what's interesting about this prayer is we don't know much about the man who prayed it. He's really an obscure man that's just kind of plucked into the Bible. We know hardly anything about him. He's really like a guy like you and I. Think about it. Here we have just over, I looked it up, just over 1,300,000, whatever, in Louisville area. How many of those people know you? Not very many. Pretty obscure. In a similar way, this man who prays this bold prayer is obscure. We don't know much about him. What we do know about this guy is that his mother gave him a very unique name. And the name means to grieve, be sorrowful. Okay, I don't know what the mother was thinking. Oh, maybe she had a horrible birthing experience, and after she had her son, I'm going to name you Sorrowful Grief. But if you know and study the names of the Bible, the culture's different in Jewish culture. The name meant something. We picked Kelton because we liked the name. We picked Olivia because we liked the name. Now, Joy, we felt like God gave us for her. So her name means flourishing in joy. But honestly, we picked the names because we liked the sound. In Jewish culture, it's different. They pick names because it meant something. Either passing on a name from a relative or a name that meant something in the life of that child. So I don't know all the reasons why this woman gave him the name that she did. But it did impact this guy in some way. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. Does anyone know his name? Ooh. You know, everyone's like, oh, but you know, I asked kids in trivia today in Sunday school, some Bible trivia, and you know, about who's the biggest person in the Bible and all this. Hey, who knows this one? What's his name? Ooh, this is good. Normally, always someone has a name or something, I ask. His name is Jabez. Jabez an obscure man in the Bible. He's even thrown in the genealogies, your favorite part in the Bible to read. And he's hidden in that passage. His name is Jabez. Years ago, in 2000, there was a book written by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez. And it's been so many years since I read it. It's been so many years ago. That was 18 years ago, or 19 now. But in this book, in The Prayer of Jabez, there's an introduction in this book that says this. By Bruce Wilkinson said, quote, "I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. It is brief, only one sentence with four parts, and tucked away in the Bible. But I believe it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. This petition has radically changed what I expect from God and what I experience every day by his power," unquote. And it is this prayer, this bold prayer of Jabez that I want us to learn. And I even challenge you today, as we go through this 40-day prayer challenge, that you begin to pray this prayer. Read out and know how to pray. Great. Pray someone else's prayer. Find a prayer in the Bible, take it, and begin to pray it. And let's see what God will do. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And as you guys know, I'm right now using the New King James Version. For a while, I used the English Standard Version. I just wanted to do something different. So it's in the New King James Version, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Beginning in verse 9. I find it myself here. Okay. In verse 9 to verse 10 says this. "And Jabez called on the name of Israel, saying," the God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. That's really all we know about this man of Jabez. I think there was a town that we know of Jabez. That's all we know of a man who is honorable above his brothers, a man who had this bold prayer, and God answered his prayer. Boop! He's gone from the Bible. We see, like, the first aspect of that passage, he was more honorable than his brothers. There was something different about Jabez. He did not let his name hold him back. We see here also, we see that his mom named him Jabez because I bore him in pain. And as we mentioned earlier, Jabez means to grieve, to be sorrowful. Yet even though that may have been the only reason he was named Jabez, we do see at least a glimpse where that name did seem to impact him. We see at the very end of his bold prayer, where he says, "that I may not cause pain." And I don't know if that's really the best translation. If you look in the English Standard Version, it says, "so that it might not bring me pain." The NIV says, "so that I will be free from pain." What is he talking about here? His name means to grieve, to be sorrowful. It would seem the possibility that he experienced some hard times. And now he comes to God with this bold prayer. He's not going to let his name define who he is. And he goes out and he prays this bold prayer. What about you today? What defines you? What defines who you are? If someone was to describe you, what would they say? Why are you the way that you are? I know when I look back, there are many things that impact our lives. Family and upbringing, huge. Friends I hung out with way back then and now. Life experiences at work, at church. Or maybe you've experienced a difficult childhood where there was abuse and neglect. That impacted you. Or maybe you had a father or mother who wasn't there for you. Maybe you attended a church where the pastor was harsh. So your view of God is a view of God that is harsh and angry with you. Maybe these things define you. Your past, what you experience. So you take that and you think, this is who I am. And so you act that out in your life. But today, we are introduced to a man who did not let his name define him, a man who rose above his name, a man who wanted to experience the blessing of God in his life. He was not going to let others or anything hold him back, so he comes to God as he was to ask God to do something bold in his life. Will you do that today? Whatever defines who you are, whatever experiences you have, whatever view of God you have, incorrect or correct, will you come today as we go through this 40-day prayer challenge, will you begin to pray this prayer of boldness, the prayer of Jabez? And as we go through this prayer, I want you to know your past does not have to define who you are. By God's grace, you can overcome your failures, the regrets of your past, and by God's power, you can live as an overcomer. Is that what you want today? As a Christian, it's time to stop saying, oh, this is what happened to me in the past. Let God, through his power and might, transform. There's one thing about God there's many things that God can do that we can't do, but one of the incredible things he can do is he could take a horrible past and he could make it do something beautiful in us. Only God could do that miracle. Is that what you want today? Well, let's learn from this prayer of Jabez. So I just wanted to break this prayer into four sections. First, oh, that you would bless me indeed. I'm going to be honest with you. That makes me feel uncomfortable. Oh God, bless me, bless me. You know, I kind of feel selfish. But you know what? I do that in different ways. I ask God to show me who he is regularly. For God to do that, he has a desire to bless me with that knowledge of who he is. I ask God for wisdom to guide this church. That's a blessing from God. God wants to bless us. For years, for 8 to 12 years or so, I struggled personally with a wrong view of God. To me, he was angry. I had to try to earn his favor, earn his approval, and earn his love. And I was wrong. That was not God. And did you know what helped change my view of God? It was God's love. The more I realized that God loved me just the way I am, as I am, the more I realize that God's on my side and not against me, the more I realize that God has an incredible future for me, this began to drive out and transform my wrong view of God to what Scripture says of God. God was in love with me. As I shared the kids in Sunday school today, this is God's love letter. And I shared to them about my love letter I gave to Diana before I proposed to her. God's love letter to us. As I realize that God is in love with me, he knows how many hairs I'm losing on my head and how many I still have, is in love with me personally. My walls began to crumble. I began to find freedom from fear. My world became brighter, and I wanted to live and change and be different. I want you to know this. Our sin does not affect God's love for us. Yes, it hurts the relationship. Yes, it brings some separation. Yes, it restricts God's blessing. But just know this. Our sin does not affect how much God loves you. That's huge. That's huge. And during this 40-day prayer challenge, will you pray this prayer, bold prayer, God, open my eyes to your love. His love brings healing, forgiveness, peace, joy like you can never imagine. The more I discover his love, the more I am filled with joy and peace. We need to realize that God wants to bless us so we can pray this prayer. Oh God, bless me indeed. How many here have children? Raise your hand. Okay. How many have a niece or nephew? Raise your hand. Do you want to bless them? Mark, depends on their behavior. Okay. I'm glad you're not my dad. No. Do you want good things for them? No question. There's not even, is there any question? Like, well, I don't know. We do. Yet God loves us so much more than we think we love our children. If you and I, who are imperfect, do these things to bless our children, how about God? Listen to Matthew 7, verse 11. Matthew 7, verse 11 says this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who asked him? Listen to these incredible scriptures. Psalm 37, 4 says this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive. We see the blessing of giving in God giving back. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then James 1:16-17 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. So let us pray this beginning prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me. The second part of the prayer says, and enlarge my territory. You know, when I think of this, I think of the Israelites coming into the promised land. And they began to drive out the Canaanites in the land. And they took away the land from the enemy. They took possession of the land. And the more they conquered, the larger their territory grew. When God begins to bless our lives, let's pray that he will expand our territory. God will lead us to new people, new relationships, possibly new job opportunities. When we ask God to bless us in His way, in His timing, He will move on our behalf. You know, as a pastor, I pray for this church. As we have been talking about becoming a harvest church, breaking out of me, I, my, to out there reaching the lost, I'm praying that we obey the words of Jesus and go. As we stop focusing on our needs, but our outward focus, God will grow the church for people that do not know Him. It's not my goal to grow the church by trying to get other people from other churches to like our church and come here. It's always a temptation, isn't it? The goal should be the Great Commission heart of God to bring people that do not have a community into a loving, united community. May we pray, as we pray this 40 days, God, individually, enlarge, expand my territory, my area of influence, what you want to do with me. And as a church, God, expand us into our neighborhood. Expand us out there, oh God. Bless us with more people who know you, people that don't know you, who come to know you. Let's pray for that. God, expand. God, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. The third part of the prayer is that your hand would be with me. When God is with us, there is nothing that could stop us. Do you believe that? Let me ask you again. If God is with us, there's nothing that could stop us. Do we truly believe it? Let me say this. Do we live it? By how we live determines our belief. Do we believe that anything, if God is for us, who can be against us? It reminds me of a clip from a movie years ago. I even forgot to look up the date it came out. I was young. I think I was a teenager at the time. Reminds me of the clip in the movie. You guys ever see The Lion King? Right? The old Lion King. Where Simba and Nala go into the wasteland to see the elephant graveyard. Remember that? And they kind of rebelliously, no one knowing, they go where they're not supposed to go, out of the safety of his father's kingdom. And while they're out there, the hyenas are there waiting for him. It's kind of like a trap, and we see what happens. I just want to show that clip from the movie Lion King.
We made it. Wow. It's really creepy, yeah. Isn't it great? We could get in big trouble.
I know.
I wonder if its brains are still in there.
There's only one way to know. Come on, let's go check it out.
The only checking out you will do will be to check out of here.
Oh, man.
We're way beyond the boundary of the Pride Lands.
Look, Banana Beak is scared.
It's Mr. Banana Beak to you, Fuzzy. And right now, we are all in very real danger.
Danger? Ha! I walk on the wild side. I laugh in the face of danger. Ha ha
Well, 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 Banzai, what have we got here?
I don't know, Shenzi. What do you think, Ed?
Just what I was thinking. A trio of trespassers.
And quite by accident, let me assure you. A simple navigational error.
Whoa, wait. I know you. You're Mufasa's little stooge.
I, madam, am the king's majordomo.
And that would make you...
the future king.
Do you know what we do to kings who step out of their kingdom?
Pugh, you can't do anything to me.
Technically they can. We are on their land.
But Zazu, you told me they're nothing but slobbering, mangy, stupid poachers.
Ixnay on the Oopid's Day.
Who are you calling Oopid's Day?
My. Oh, look at the sun. It's time to go.
What's the hurry? We'd love you to stick around for dinner.
Yeah, we could have whatever's lying around.
Wait, I got one.
Lying?
Make mine a cub sandwich. What you think?
What? And what is it?
Hey, did we order this dinner to go?
No. Why?
Because there it goes!
Did we lose him?
I think so. Where's Zazu?
Vegetomo bird hippity hop all the way to the birdie boiler.
Oh no, not the birdie boiler!
Hey, why don't you pick on somebody your own size?
Like you?
Oops.
If you ever come near my son again.
Oh, this is your son?
Oh, yours?
Did you know that?
No, me? I didn't know. No, did you?
No, of course not.
No. Ed? Doodles.
Dad,
you deliberately disobeyed me. Let's go home.
I thought you were very brave.
We may do stupid things when God's on our side. I always love that part. That's great. Go ahead again. And it's like, when God is for us, no one could be against us. We are unstoppable with God. Romans 8:31 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When we ask God to bless us, when we ask God to expand our territory, and we ask God that his hand would be with us, whatever he does, we shall do, shall prosper. And then we come to the last part of this prayer. The fourth part says this, that you may keep me from evil, that I would not cause pain, or that I would not experience pain. You know, in the world, we are surrounded with a lot of evil and temptation. We easily get soiled by the filth of the world. We become like the world, even though God, Jesus says, do not be like the world. It's so wise for us to pray, Lord, keep me from evil. Jabez's prayer resonates with the words of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, where it says in Matthew 6, 14, where it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil, or the evil one. You know, one prayer I pray for my kids regularly, I've prayed a lot, is John 17, 15, where this is the Jesus' high priestly prayer when he prays in John 17, 15, it says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. I fear for my children in the sense of I fear that the temptation that is much more easily accessible, the things that they could see, hear, and find is so much easier than when I was a kid. If you have the worship team, come forward. During our 40-day prayer challenge, why not pray this prayer of Jabez? Oh God, bless me. Oh God, expand my territory. Oh God, may your hand be with me. Oh God, keep me from evil. Why don't we pray that for us? And would you also pray that for the church? One other thing I've asked you guys to pray for during this 40-day prayer challenge is this. God, pour forth your Spirit on us. You guys, God's doing something. I don't know how he's going to do it yet. Prayer and encountering God's the key. If we don't do that, let's just close up the doors and go do something else. As we worship today, maybe you don't know God's love today and you need a God to show you his, oh God, show me your love. Maybe you have a wrong perception of God as being angry. Maybe you say, God, show me your glory. Show me who you are. Or maybe you're afraid to ask for blessing. Today, pray, God, bless me that I may know you. As we worship you guys a song and as they close out our time today, will we worship God? Will we come to him with boldness because he wants to bless us?